Welcome to Catch the Fire Toronto's weekly sermon podcast. This message was recorded live at Catch the Fire Church in Toronto, Canada. We hope you enjoy it.
Stop it. Thanks. You guys. It's great to be here. I'm usually here, except when I'm not. And yeah, it's great to be here. I love being here. Sarah and I travel a fair bit for doing ministry and our jobs with Catch the Fire and those things. And I always remember how amazing this church is when I get to go and look at all those other churches. None of them are as good as here. That's because of you guys. You're all amazing. Well done. All right, I'm going to take you back to kids' church today. We're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus. We're in a month of looking at people that encountered Jesus and the revelation that they had, the encounter that they had. And we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus. So why don't you dive in with me? You're going to want your Bible. How many of you have actually got a paper Bible with you? Well done, the forests, thank you. How many of you have got a digital Bible with you of some sort? Wow, it's increasing every time. Well, pull out your Bible. We're going to go to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read through some of my favorite 10 verses in the Bible. This is an incredible story that is packed with loads of truth. And it's 10 verses long. And I think every verse counts. So let's read them all. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." I want to talk to you today about our determination for encounter with God. I want to suggest that there's actually a lot more encounter than you're experiencing, and you actually just need to get over yourself to get there. See, Zacchaeus is a really determined guy. Jesus is actually he's just passing through. It says that, verse 1 of that passage there. Jesus is just passing through. Let's just look at the context of this for a moment, okay? This is right before, literally days before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus is on his final mission. In fact, in all of his time with the disciples up until now, Jesus has been like saying, no, hang on, it's not yet time for me to reveal who I really am. Wait, it's not time. And then suddenly, in chapter 18 of Luke, we see, this is just the chapter before, he's like, okay guys, it's time. We've got to go to Jerusalem so that everything the prophets have said about the Son of Man is going to be fulfilled. I like to think of Jesus as like an avocado. You know, when you get an avocado, you're kind of looking at it and it just contains all of this promise of a delicious lunch, you know? And you're looking at it and then it's not ready. And then the next day you're like, come on, is it time? Is it time for me to encounter the deliciousness of this avocado? And the avocado's like, not today, son. Wait. And then suddenly one day it's time. And you're busy and it's too late. That is what Jesus was like. He was like, come on, wait. And then suddenly, it's time, I gotta go. And then he's gone. So he is on a mission. It's like the final climax of his mission here on earth. It's happening now. That moment's happening. He has no intention to stop in Jericho. Jericho is not far from Jerusalem. He was just walking there that day. He has no intention to stop. But something about Zacchaeus' determination to see God caused God to stop. Right? Jesus is on a mission. And Zacchaeus is very strategic. He's a strategic guy. I've got a lot of empathy for Zacchaeus because I'm a sinner and I'm also strategic. We're quite similar. And it says that, you know, Zacchaeus is short and he can't see over the crowd, and so he runs ahead. So picture this, right? He showed up to this big event. He's excited. People have heard that Jesus is coming into town. He's like, oh, I can't see. He could in that very moment have just been like, not meant to be. But instead he's like, no, I'm gonna run ahead. I'm gonna figure out where God is going, where Jesus is going, and I'm gonna get up a tree so that when the rest of the people come, I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to encounter him. There's this desire to overcome every hindrance just to have that moment of encounter with Jesus. How many of you have ever loved someone from a distance before? Do you know what I'm talking about? You probably don't yet. I wouldn't call it stalking, but I would call it more like scouting, like you're scouting out the person. Do you know what I mean? It's like, let me have a look and see if that's the person I'm looking for. And in 2007, I came here to Canada and I meet this blonde, and wow, she was amazing. Amazing. It's Sarah, don't worry. This is not going somewhere else. And I wanted to take every opportunity I could to be close to her. So I'm thinking about it. You know, first thought in the morning, I'm like, this shirt or that shirt, which shirt am I going to look better in? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? You're like, you're thinking about it. So many of you haven't. Well done for not being desperate people. I was desperate. I'm like, oh, there's something about this girl and I just want to be around her. So I took every opportunity I could to be close to her. We were working in the School of Ministry at the time. Welcome to the new School of Ministry students. Where are you guys? This is your first Sunday in town. Welcome, everyone. Great to see you. And we were working in the School of Ministry at the time. And so every day it would sort of be like, I'm going to see her. She's going to be in the office. I'm like, thinking about it. You know, I remember this one day I was like, oh, I just want to be around her. And I was leading worship downtown at our downtown congregation, and she was preaching downtown. And I was like, that's clearly the Lord's doing. Let's share a car, save the planet. See? So we go downtown together with Jonathan Clark, who was a convenient tag along that made it appropriate for us to be in the car together. And we went and did worship, and she spoke, and I was just like, oh, this is it. This is the woman for me, I know. So then there was lots of snow that day, I remember. And so I engineered an event where I could be close to her. So I texted all of the small group leaders and I was like, guys, let's go out sledding, tobogganing when we get home from downtown congregation tonight. Let's go out sledding. And then I said, Sarah, hey, turns out a bunch of people are going tobogganing. Don't know if you want to come. Am I bordering on creepy yet? It's going to get more creepy, don't worry. And I'm showing this like, this intentionality. I'm like constructing events where I get to be close to her. So we go out, we're tobogganing, there's loads of snow, lots of fun. It becomes just this flirtatious moment of throwing snowballs at one another. It's like a movie scene. It's just like, it was amazing. And then I just came overwhelmed with this desire to have some form of physical contact with her. And so there's lots of people around, but I decide I'm gonna rugby tackle Sarah in the snow. It's just such a romantic thing to do. Highly encourage you do this. So I rugby tackled Sarah in the snow and I broke her rib in the process. This is backfiring dramatically. She sort of wheezes her way back to the car and I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm so sorry about the rib, by the way. I go back to my bed and I'm like, I'm all in love, you know? And she goes home that night and she goes to bed and she wakes up in the middle of the night and she's in so much pain and she's like, and she gets out of bed to go and get a glass of water. And in the process, the pain causes her to collapse. And she drops the glass and it shatters and like lacerates her leg. And then she falls and bangs her head on a marble tile and cracks her head open. And there is blood everywhere. And she has to go to ER. My intentionality is dramatically failing at this point. So the next morning, I'm thinking, I can't wait to connect with her. I've worn the shirt that I know that she likes. I'm excited about this. And she doesn't show up. There's no, like, she doesn't arrive to work. And I managed to make it until noon before I said to someone, like, hey, it's not like I care or anything. Like, it wouldn't make any difference to me at all, but I just happened to notice that Sarah isn't here. Is she coming? Like, does anyone know? Ben, you didn't hear? She's in ER. Yeah, she was so wounded last night that she's in ER. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've completely blown every opportunity. And the creepiness doesn't finish there because she couldn't come to work, right? And then it's Christmas time, so she flies to the UK, and I live in the UK too at that point. And I'm like, it's the Lord again. And so I engineered some circumstances that brought me to her city for the day. And I just so happened to be in your city. Would you like to meet up? And then I went one step further and I actually engineered an excuse to go to her house. I found somebody that had suitcases that needed to be delivered to her parents. And I was like, I've got to come to your house and deliver these suitcases. So I went to great lengths just to be around her. That night when I arrived and saw her, she was like, well, why don't you stay for dinner? I'm not sure her parents felt quite the same since I'd like mortally wounded their daughter. But clearly Sarah was, you know, healthy enough and somewhat of right mind enough to, you know, see that my shirt looked good and I was handsome and the rest is history. So, but what's my point here? There are things in life, guys, that we want. And there are things that we want so badly that we are intentional about how can I get this? How can I get into this place? And I feel like Zacchaeus had so many opportunities to give up on having that encounter with God, but he took every opportunity captive. I know that's kind of mis-scripturing there, but he took everything captive and was like, I am going to overcome every hurdle to encounter Jesus this day. And God loves this intentionality. In fact, the New Testament and the Old Testament, it's full of stories of Jesus on a mission, going to do something, and someone wanting to get close to him, and someone being intentional enough to come close to him. You know, we see it in the story with the woman with the issue of blood, that's recorded in three of the Gospels, where this lady has had this problem for a long, long time, and Jesus is just surrounded by people. It's like a swarm of people that want his attention, and she just pushes through and grabs his clothes for a second, just because she knew, if I can do that, I'm gonna be healed. And Jesus is heading somewhere and he stops and it's like, someone touched me. Someone had faith. Someone was believing for that moment and they were so intentional that I wanna stop and look them in the eyes and heal them right here, right now. There is something about our intentionality, our persistence, our determination that actually grabs the heart of God. Smith Wigglesworth said this, there's something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people to get to you. I think for some of us, we have to really just look at the things that distract us from those moments of encounter. Everything that Zacchaeus came across was like a moment, an opportunity that he had to turn around, right? Say, maybe it's not for me today. And maybe for you, when you're present in church and you're like, oh, I know that Jesus is here, the crowd has gathered and Jesus is here and he's passing through. And you're like, but I'm cool just being an onlooker. Like, I'll just observe him from over here. Or maybe you're like, oh, I feel like the Lord is about to do something. Oh, I can feel it. Like there's, oh, the Holy Spirit's moving. It's exciting. Ooh, new Instagram follower. some kind of text message or something. There's a notification. Guys, this happened to me about 10 minutes ago. Like, I'm in worship. It's Shaloma just said, like, oh, God wants to do something. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm totally in. I'm all in. And then my pocket vibrates and I'm like, huh, I wonder what that is. Wait, what am I doing? I'm about to preach on this. Put your phone away, Ben. There's often so many distractions. Maybe it's like, oh, I want to go to the front, but it's kind of crowded up there. And those people probably need Jesus more than I do anyway today. Like, what is it? What are those moments where we decide that actually we're not going to press in? We're not going to be intentional for the encounter. It happens so often. Someone steps in front of you. The person next to you's got BO. And you're like, oof, I can't worship. They stink. Maybe it's in your personal life. Maybe it's like, man, I've got kids, I've got work, I've got the gym, I've got taxes to do, I've got, like, what is it that's getting in the way of you being intentional? And I kind of want to take that a step further, because it can be really easy for us to recognize the practical things, you know, the logistical distractions. But what about what's going on in your heart? See, I feel like Zacchaeus had more to overcome than just the fact he was short. It wasn't just a height issue. There was a lot more than that going on. I feel like he was dealing with a lot of pride and a lot of shame. What do we know about Zacchaeus? We know that he was a tax collector. And a tax collector was not really an honorable job like it is today. I mean, we all love the tax collectors today, amen? No? Come on, it's tax season. Bless the tax collectors, Lord. The tax collectors in those days were like seriously corrupt people. These are Jews who have turned from their own people and they are basically being spies and tax collectors for the Roman government. It's like the equivalent of being in occupied France during World War II and being an informant for the Nazis. It's stealing from your people to give to your occupiers, the enemy, right? And the tax collectors were permitted to take as much as they wanted above and beyond the actual taxes that were levied by Rome. They could take as much as they wanted and get rich from it. So this guy, he's a tax collector. No, wait, he's actually the chief tax collector. He's the boss of all of the tax collectors. He's the most corrupt guy in town. He's basically the mafia boss of Jericho. And he's sold out and become a sinner. And we also know there's this group of people called the Zealots at this time, and their prime existence, their reason for existence, was to basically slit the throat of every tax collector they could find. And Jesus, in his connect group, he has Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector. So if you think that you have tension in your connect group, that is nothing compared to what Jesus had to deal with on a regular basis, okay? Get over your differences. Jesus did. They did. And we also know that Zacchaeus is short. Give me a second. There we go. Zacchaeus is short. How many short people in the room? How many don't want to admit that they're short people in the room? Big up the short people. Okay, so when I told Sarah I was going to be preaching on Zacchaeus, I was like, it's going to be awesome. I've got all this opportunity for short jokes. And she was like, no. You can't go there with the short jokes. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. I don't want to offend people. I also don't want to get punched in the knee again. And you know, the thing about being short is, yes, thanks for laughing. The thing about being short is that it's something you can't change. And I think often there are things that in our bodies that are different than other people. And Jesus loves us all the same. But kids at school, they see the differences and they give us labels. And those things like I'm short becomes an identity. I'm fat, I'm tall, I'm white, whatever. Like it becomes an identity. And it becomes something whenever we look different. And so I want to kind of offer to you the suggestion that the reason it's mentioned that Zacchaeus is short is not just because of the practical things of him needing to jump over the crowd, but it's also because he was carrying this stigma. And so we see that he's carrying pride. He's rich, he's smart, he's a leader. And he's also carrying shame. He's a notorious sinner. He's a tax collector who's betrayed his own people. And so for Zacchaeus to even leave his house and join the masses of people, he had to overcome his pride. And for Zacchaeus to climb a tree and admit that he needed to do that was him overcoming his shame. Where is shame and pride stopping you from being intentional about encounter with God? Maybe you feel like you're just fine and you don't need God. You know, maybe you're like, oh, I'm gonna let my spouse go to that special service on Friday night because they need God more than I do. Maybe you think other people need God more than you. Shame leads us to believe that we're broken and unacceptable, that God couldn't love us or couldn't accept us. And pride leads us to believe that we don't need him anyway. And so we find all of these distractions to distract us and other people from the inadequacy that we feel inside. We do everything we can to pretend that we're something better than we are, or something worse than we are even. But I want to tell you today that Jesus is actually looking for you. In this story, we see that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, hey, get down from that tree, I want to come to your house. When you go to someone's house, you're seeing their life, you're seeing the mess on the floor, you're seeing, you know, just where they're at in their life. I feel like Jesus is saying that to every one of us. I want to come and see your house. I want to come into your life. And we can think of so many reasons why he shouldn't want to do that and why we don't actually want to let him in. Do you know, the truth is, I think we feel like we need to get ourselves fixed before we're acceptable to Jesus. I feel way too much shame and I need to fix my shame before I'm gonna allow Jesus in. Or, nah, you know I'm doing pretty good and I probably need to like humble myself in order to get into the presence of God. Listen, we see in this story that Zacchaeus was totally transformed and changed at the moment of his encounter with Jesus, not before. He didn't fix himself. He didn't give away all his money to the poor before he had an encounter with Jesus. He had that encounter with Jesus because he was desperate and he knew that he was lost. You see, that last verse of the passage is huge. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who are lost. And sometimes in our pride, we like to think that that's just the people who don't yet know Jesus, you know, people who are unsaved, who don't go to church. Well, let me tell you, without Jesus, I'm lost. And there's something about us admitting that to ourselves and just say, actually, I've got a whole lot of stuff, whole lot of baggage and pride and all of that, but I'm not gonna let that stop me from pursuing encounter with him. The one who can actually fix it, the one who can actually change it. And when we get into his presence, when we get into those encounters with God, he totally recalibrates us. You see, the very thing that Zacchaeus had spent his whole life doing was amassing wealth at the expense of everything else. Amassing wealth and power. And as soon as he gets into that moment with Jesus, when he looks Jesus in the eyes, he's like, this is the treasure. This is the treasure. Everything else I've spent all of my life amassing, I'm gonna give it to the poor, I'm gonna give money back to everyone. I have found the greatest treasure. And you know, Philippians 3 verse 8, it says this, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. There is true treasure in who Jesus is. And it is worth giving up everything else for. But Jesus is not expecting you to realize that on your own. He's not even expecting you to realize that just from reading the words in the Bible. He's expecting you to have an encounter with him, to be face to face with him, and in that moment, let him show you that he's worth it, that he can heal you, that he can restore you from that place of shame, that place of pride. He can heal those fears of rejection. So what do you need to overcome? I'm in the process of just finishing a 40-day fast and not food, otherwise I'd look quite different than this. I'm not saying this out of pride because, to be honest, this was quite a humbling process for me. I can, as a leader, just say, oh, you know, I'm a leader. I shouldn't be in a desert place. I shouldn't be hungry. I shouldn't be, you know. But the truth is I was. And it's not a hunger that I can be proud of, like a hunger like, I'm just so desperate for you, Lord. It was a hunger like, I feel like I haven't had water for a long time. And so that process of fasting and just saying, God, I'm choosing that actually you're more important and you're going to be better than any of these things that I could have as an, you know, any of the things that I'm fasting. I want to invite you to stand with me if you would. And I just want to ask you this question in the presence of Jesus here. What are the things that you need to overcome in yourself? The things that you need to persevere through in life to position yourself for encounter with Jesus like Zacchaeus did. Maybe it's practical. Maybe it's in your heart. Maybe it's in a heart level. But what are the things that we need to do to just push through and just show God, I've got a feeling that you're worth it. Are you focused on being short? Or are you focused on finding a tree to climb? And maybe some of you, you know, you come to church on Sunday and you're like, yeah, I love getting into the presence of God. And it's sort of as though Jesus is just coming through and you're just one of the crowd that's observing. And you've had an encounter with God. You're like, yeah, I saw him. Great. That's good enough for me. What's it going to take to shift that position of your heart, that posture of your heart and your mind and your spirit and your body to say, I actually need more, Jesus. I actually need more of you. He always responds to that hunger, and I promise you, he will respond in your life. Maybe you need to fast, maybe you need to repent, whatever it is. But Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I'm lost. Jesus, I'm broken. And I need you. Just in your own words to him, just tell him that you need him. Tell him that you want him. And if you're not there, if you're not hungry, it's okay to say, God, I'm hungry to be hungry for you. I actually need to need you. I want to want you. I want to want you like Zacchaeus wanted you. Help me to be hungry for you. Help me to position myself for that greater encounter with you and let everything else be swept aside. For some of you, I really feel like the Lord's pressing on your heart right now and he's touching some things, and I'm aware of the time. So we're gonna end the meeting. But for those of you that are keen, that are like, I just know that I need to just connect with God right now in this moment. It doesn't mean those of you that don't are bad, but if those of you who know, I just want to connect with God in this moment, I want to invite you to come to the front and just get down on your face before Jesus and just say, Lord, deal with this heart of mine. Ignite a hunger in me to position myself for you. So those of you that need to go, that lunch is calling, I bless you. Be blessed. Grow in hunger for God. Be positioning yourself this week for greater encounter. And those of you that have time and opportunity to stay, let's connect with Him today. Maybe you need to repent. I'm going to leave that to you and God just to connect with Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you're all I want. You're all I need. Oh. Yeah. I know it may feel awkward. It's okay. Maybe that's just one of the things that you need to overcome. To overcome the awkwardness, to just say, actually, I'm gonna choose it. I'm gonna position myself for encounter with you. And honestly, you're free to go. No one who needs to leave right now is gonna be judged. This is just between you and Him. Your heart, His heart. Connect with Him however you need to. You can do that in the car, you can do that at home, or you can do that right here today.
We hope you encounter God and were inspired by this message today. To watch video of this message and other messages from Catch the Fire in Toronto, visit catchthefire.tv. Catch the Fire has churches, schools, events, missions, and media all around the world. To find out more, visit catchthefire.com.